Rainbow colors streak across shapes as they slide into place to form A24. Festival de Cannes Grand Prix 2022. Words slide into view, the Match Factory. Pegs on a light box illuminate, forming a stylized lion. Text appears in Dutch, then changes to English. VAF, Flanders State of the Art, Flanders Audiovisual Fund. A24 presents, in co-production with VTM RTBF Belgian Television, with the participation of Canal Plus Cine Plus, with the support of Flanders Audiovisual Fund, VAF, Your Images, Netherlands Film Fund, Netherlands Film Production Incentive, Film and Audiovisual Center of Wallonia Brussels Federation, SACEM, De Tech Shelter Matrigal van de Belgische Federal Overhead, Casa Kafka Pictures. A title reads, Close. Subtitles appear over total darkness.
What do we do?
Don't make any noise.
Okay, sorry.
Don't make any noise.
Got it.
The view remains dark.
Wait, I'm gonna check.
Don't. Stay. Leo.
Two boys hide.
Come on, hide.
What's going on?
Let me kiss you.
What's going on?
Please, keep quiet. Can't you hear?
The blonde Leo peers at his friend.
Can't you hear the sound of footsteps and armors?
How many are they?
There are at least 80 of them. Let me see if they're here.
What are they doing here?
I don't know. They're not in front.
The dark-haired friend ducks.
What's wrong?
I hear something.
Be quiet.
I don't hear a thing.
They must be on the roof and behind us. They're forming a circle. Stop it. They're going to hear us. Are you insane? On the count of three, you run to get away.
Yes, Captain.
Three, two, one, go.
The two boys tear away from the dilapidated structure they were hiding in and dash beyond a wooded area into a field of flowers.
They're behind us. Run.
Grinning joyfully, they sprint through the colorful blossoms, passing workers tending to the plants. Now walking, the pair strides past a middle-aged couple working in the flower farm.
Here you are at last.
I'll sleep at Remy's tonight.
Will you ever come back home?
Maybe.
A young man drapes his arm around Leo.
How nice of you to come and help your big brother.
No, I've seen you enough.
Come work with us someday.
Leo pulls free of his brother's embrace, and he and Remy sprint off, zipping past a harvester that's going the other direction. The boys dash through a thicket and out into a clearing where a one-story house sits. A mid-sized dog with a brown short coat joins them, and Leo pets it. Later, in a grassy area, Leo and a woman with heart-shaped features lie back on Remy's torso as if he's a pillow.
I'm ready for your draft. Boys, open the windows.
Leo fans her with his hand.
I love it. Now, if I could get some grapes. Something...
Hey, we're not your servants.
One can hope. Let me dream a little.
Dreaming is a good thing.
I'm dreaming of a devoted son.
Remy ignores her, and she turns to Leo.
And a devoted son of heart. More devoted to me than my son, by the way.
That's nice.
Depending on the day.
You too.
I'm always at your beck and call, you know. When you deserve it.
Sorry, but it's true.
Do you agree?
I do.
I'm too nice with him.
Later, in a room with red walls, Remy plays the oboe as Leo lies beside him, watching intently. Later still, Leo reclines on his back, staring up toward the ceiling, as Remy sits on the edge of the bed.
I have an idea. I'm going to become your manager. And we'll travel the world, even the moon. And we'll become filthy rich.
We might have to wait a little.
Not at all.
Yes.
Show this to the world. Put that on YouTube.
No.
And you'll get a million likes. All the oboe celebs are gonna...
Okay, I get it.
Which country do you want to visit first?
First, I'd like to be able to play this piece properly. Then we'll see.
If needed, where do you want to go? The first country that you could choose.
I'd say Mexico.
Now, still in Remy's red-walled bedroom, Leo sketches, glancing up at his subject as he draws. Remy smiles as he poses for the portrait, sitting on the bed with his back against a wall and his arms resting on his bent knees. His smile fades, and Leo glances his way again, scrutinizing him carefully.
Stop laughing, I can't focus.
Let me see.
Leo shakes his head and continues to draw.
It's actually beautiful. Are you ready?
Leo shows his crude sketch.
This is terrible.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's not a masterpiece.
At night, the boys lie side by side in the bed. Remy shifts position and Leo looks over at him, then rubs his eyelid with his thumb. Leo studies his friend for a moment before speaking.
You're not sleeping?
Yes, I am.
What is it?
I don't know. It's just my brain. It never stops. But it's not that important.
Leo nods faintly.
Imagine. You're a very small duckling. You just came out of your shell. You've just opened your eyes for the very first time.
Leo adjusts his position on his pillow.
All the ducks are yellow. And so are you. But you're much more beautiful than the others. You're special.
Remy smiles.
One day, you decide to leave, and you encounter a lizard. You're wondering what it is, as you've never seen one before. You think that this lizard is odd. And it rhymes, too. But you like it. Because its color is special, just like you. One day, you leave together. And you end up on a trampoline. You start jumping on the trampoline. You jump as high as the stars. It looks a little bit like this.
Leo purses his lips and exhales. He checks in with his friend, then blows again. Remy's eyes are closed. In the morning, a narrow shaft of sunlight slants across both boys as they sleep together, Leo cuddling up against Remy's back. Neither of them moves as they slumber peacefully. Both sporting backpacks, the boys bicycle down a sun-dappled country road, Leo pulling ahead for a moment, but Remy quickly catching up. Yay! Leo and Remy step into a crowded schoolyard and peer around. Some of the students walk alone or in pairs, but most stand together in groups, the girls largely hanging out with other girls, and the boys mostly gathering alongside other boys. As Leo and Remy step further into the tiled recreation area, children pass balls around behind them. Gazing awkwardly at those around them, the two boys bump affectionately into each other. Later, in a classroom, Remy and Leo sit at adjacent desks.
Hello, Idrin.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to your first year. I don't know you, but I'd like to get to know you.
It's okay.
No problem. We're going to try and speak Dutch.
Okay, my name is Baptiste. I'm 13. I play ice hockey. My hobbies are playing ice hockey, swimming, and running. I want to become a pro hockey player.
A professional?
Yes. My name is Sekou. I'm 12 years old. I love basketball and soccer.
Hold on. Jules, are you listening?
My name is Inez, and I would love to work in politics.
All right. Anybody who wants to present?
I'm Jules, and I eat a lot.
Really? And what do you eat?
Pasta, pizza, burgers, fries. Durums with pita, lettuce, and onion.
You indeed eat a lot. What would you like to become?
I don't know. Taster, maybe.
Are you nervous?
A little.
Leo sets his head against his friend's shoulder, and Remy briefly leans into it.
Tell us who you are and what we should learn about you.
Back in the schoolyard, Remy and Leo walk together, scanning the area around them as they go. They both peer over at Baptiste, the boy whose goal is to be a professional hockey player, and see he's surrounded by other students.
It was this big, and I was on my bike on the highway.
Nobody cares.
She's the one asking.
Oh, my God.
Stop yelling.
Leo smiles.
Yuck, you farted.
Stop, you're annoying.
Later.
Can I ask you a question?
Leo and Remy sit with some girls.
Are you together?
No.
Why are you laughing?
He's the one laughing.
I don't know. We just aren't.
I was just curious because you look very close as friends. That's it. Not trying to be mean.
Well, we're not.
Two of the girls snicker.
Why are we laughing?
I don't know.
Why do you say that?
Because it's clear.
What is clear?
That you're a couple.
Do we hold hands? Do we smooch? No. I could tell you the same because you do girly things together.
My girlfriend.
It's not that. It's just when you sit next to each other, you're that close.
Of course. We're best friends.
We're best friends, too.
It's just a question. I think they're really best friends.
Yeah, we're BFFs to the point that we're almost brothers.
It goes beyond that.
They've known each other forever.
Maybe you don't accept it.
Not at all. Could you stop now? We're just not together.
Are you sure?
Yes, I am.
Okay. This discussion is useless. It's just a question. If they become a couple, they'll let you know.
I'm just curious.
Now, Leo storms up a staircase to a bedroom and drops down heavily on the mattress facing up.
Leo?
His blonde-haired mom steps into the room.
Hello. So, how was school?
It was okay.
All went well?
The boy nods glumly.
Are you in Remy's class?
Yes.
That's great. All right, do you want a snack?
No, thanks. I'm not very hungry.
Okay.
Leo stares up toward the ceiling. Outside, under bright sunshine, Leo works in the flower farm. He collects the globe-shaped, pale heads of white pompon dahlias as his parents do the same in the distance behind him. His brother works nearby, swiftly pulling the tops off plants and dropping them into a container. Leo concentrates on his work, his blue eyes downcast. Now, pedaling along on his bike, he joins up with Remy and they ride together.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Ciao. Ciao.
They roll along side by side.
T'as bien dormi?
Did you sleep well?
Ça va.
It was fine. It was all right.
Et toi?
And you?
Pareil.
Ditto.
It was all right.
All right.
At school, Baptiste sits with friends.
No. Stop it, girls.
Let them sleep.
Yeah, stop it or I'll hit you.
As they lie in the grass, resting, Remy sets his head on Leo's stomach.
Man, she puts things in my mouth.
With one arm shielding the sun from his face, Leo opens his eyes and peers behind him. Leo turns and looks toward other students, then rolls onto his front so Remy can no longer use his belly as a pillow.
What are you doing?
Getting no response, Remy scoots closer and rests his head on Leo's back.
Remy, I'm hot.
Me too.
I'm hot.
No, stay.
Leo rolls away.
Sorry.
Remy sits up as Leo, now lying on his side, closes his eyes again. Remy positions himself near their backpacks and lies down a few feet away from his friend. Leo peers over at him. Later, Leo trots over to where some boys are playing soccer. Leo grins.
To whom are you passing the ball?
I'm in the middle.
When the ball comes his way, Leo kicks it back in.
Oh no.
Remy watches from a distance.
Come on.
Leo focuses on the game.
It's no big deal. They're fools.
Come here.
I'm gonna get you.
Outside Remy's house, a bearded man playfully chases the two boys, as does Remy's mom.
I'll never catch up with you. It's gonna be the opposite. Oh shit. I got one.
They tussle.
There you go.
There.
Later.
Do you like it?
It's delicious.
It's very good.
It's edible.
Seriously.
You know it's delicious.
Do you know that technique?
Let me see.
As the boys eat with Remy's parents, Leo twists both his ears while simultaneously sucking up a long noodle.
Try it. Watch out.
Remy tries.
Wow, again. Awesome. I'm gonna try.
The mom performs the trick.
Well done. Pretty good.
In Remy's bedroom, Leo tries to play the oboe.
Wait, one last time. After that, I won't bother you.
Okay.
Go ahead. You do it so much better.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And tomorrow, everybody's coming.
I'll sit in the front row, and I'll scream.
Oh, no.
Yes. Remy, hooray!
Do that, and I'll kill you.
That's why I'm going to do it.
How nice of you.
You're the king of this concert. Go on, play.
Now, in the dark bedroom, the boys lie side by side once more. Remy gazes up toward the ceiling, and Leo blows toward him again. At the concert, Remy's parents sit in the audience, the mom beaming proudly. Remy is on his feet near the conductor, cradling his oboe and facing a music stand. Remy glances briefly toward the audience, where Leo sits watching with a delicate, faint smile on his lips. Remy begins to play. Leo's eyes glisten as he watches. Remy lowers his instrument. His eyes dart around, briefly locking on the audience again. Back at the school, Remy and Leo stand outside with a group of other students.
I have a good feeling about this.
Calm down.
A kid slams into Leo, then Jules appears.
Easy, are you okay?
Jules hits him too.
Is that a joke? Are you serious?
What? You liked it, girl.
You're calling me names. Shut up and beat it.
Shut up and beat it. My name is Leo, and I'm a faggot.
A short boy in the group speaks up.
They're pansies anyway. Why do they find the need to do that?
Leo offers the boy a faint smile, then peers across at Remy, and they share an uncomfortable look. Later, the two friends walk down a crowded hallway together in silence. Now, Leo stands beside Baptiste.
How long have you been playing ice hockey?
Since I was four.
Leo nods.
And is it difficult?
No, it's easy. You get the hang of it in 2 days. Can you ice skate?
Yep.
Would you like to try?
I don't know.
You don't know? Hence my question. Okay, but is it more yes or no?
More yes.
That's good.
Out in the sun-drenched flower farm, Leo and Remy stride down parallel paths between the blooms. Remy glances over at his friend as they walk, but Leo doesn't return the look. Inside the dilapidated structure, Remy sits on the floor with his back to a crumbling wall, playing with a makeshift wooden sword. He gazes over at Leo, who sits against a different weathered wall, not looking his way. Remy rises to his feet and peers around dramatically.
What are you doing?
Don't you hear anything? I hear footsteps.
Leo peers outside as Remy ducks into the shadows.
Hide.
What?
Hide.
What is it? There's nothing.
Shh! Stop making noise.
I didn't see anything.
There is something. Can't you hear? They're behind us.
Leo drags down his makeshift sword.
They're not really behind us.
Standing in the shadows, Remy peers at his friend. Leo pads away from Remy and gazes out toward the sunlight.
Shall we go home?
At night, in Remy's red-walled room, the boys lie in bed together. Leo rolls onto his back and stares upward. He lifts his head from his pillow and turns toward Remy, who's sleeping on his side facing away. Leo rises and settles onto a mattress set on the floor beside the bed, slipping his pillow down with him. After gazing up warily toward his friend, Leo closes his eyes. Up on the bed, Remy rolls over and spreads out some. Repositioning his head on the pillow, he opens his eyes to find he's alone on the bed. He closes them again. In the morning, as sun streams into the room, Leo wakes up. He turns to find that Remy is now sleeping alongside him on the floor mattress. Moments later, Leo pounces on Remy.
Wake up.
They wrestle.
Come on, wake up.
What are you doing?
What are you doing in my bed?
I don't know. Why are you attacking me?
Because I want to.
You know what? Me too.
No.
The boys tussle playfully, grinning as they fight. Leo yanks Remy off the floor mattress.
Go to your bed.
Remy drops back down.
Stop it.
They grapple.
Are you going back to your bed?
No.
Leo bites his arm.
Are you going now?
What's with the biting?
Just go to your bed.
No.
They battle more fiercely, their arms and legs flailing as they fight on the floor mattress. Remy slams a hand into Leo's head, then backs away. Leo holds out both hands, and Remy drops back on his bed and pulls the cover over his legs. Leo lies on the floor mattress with his back to the bed. Breathing heavily, he stares off. Facing the wall next to his bed, Remy also catches his breath. Leo's chest heaves with each sharp inhale. Now, Remy's mother stands in a hallway in front of a closed door.
Remy?
Remy.
What?
Please open.
I'm taking a shower.
I told you not to lock the door.
Go away, Mom. Leave me alone for a minute. I'm good.
I will as soon as you open the door. I won't come in. Just open.
What's going on?
He locked himself inside, and I don't want that. On the count of three, Remy.
Leo watches from down the hall.
Remy!
Remy, eat a little.
The boys sit at a table with Remy's parents.
Remy.
I'm not hungry.
What do you mean you're not hungry? Don't start. At least eat this, so you have something in your belly, okay? What?
I have a stomach ache.
Then don't eat. It's okay, don't eat. If it hurts, he doesn't need to eat. That's okay.
Remy's eyes well up.
What's wrong?
Why are you crying?
My stomach hurts, that's all.
A tear runs down his face.
Hey. Tell me. What's going on?
Leo stares off numbly.
I'm gonna serve you hot water with some lemon juice. You're gonna feel better. I'll let you squeeze.
Done.
Okay, pour it in his water.
Hold on. There you go. Just like that. There you go.
Outside, the boys ride their bicycles. Remy pulls ahead, and Leo struggles to make his way back up beside him. Leo glances over at Remy's impassive face before slipping behind again.
Remy? Wait.
In the schoolyard, Leo walks with Baptiste and some other students. The group greets some seated kids by slapping hands. As several of the students chat, Leo peers around, finally spotting Remy in the distance, hanging out with some other kids.
Imagine if Ronaldo were to leave. Who would I follow? Kylian Mbappe? I prefer to wait. He's going to be strong in 3 years. He already is strong. He'll be the new Ronaldinho.
Leo, you look a little tense. Did you have your period or something?
Shut your trap. Come on, that's not funny.
Yes, it is.
It's not.
Yes, it is. They laughed.
Let's go.
Later, Leo trudges over and sits down on the grass beside Remy, who's focused on his cell phone.
What are you doing?
Playing a game.
Are you okay?
Huh.
Is it a good huh or a bad huh? Are you like this because of me?
Remy shakes his head.
What's wrong then?
Remy doesn't look up from his game.
Are you sure?
Yes.
You're not lying, are you?
No.
Because it shows when you lie.
Leo studies Remy, who remains focused on his game. After heaving a sigh, Leo peers downward. Remy continues staring at his phone. Leo gazes at his friend again, then down at the game Remy's playing.
Okay.
In a changing area.
Okay, guys, everybody on the ice, come on.
Baptiste helps Leo suit up in hockey gear.
Don't worry, it doesn't stick.
Okay, thanks.
No problem. Listen up, guys, focus. Look at me when I'm talking to you, okay?
Okay? Okay, guys.
Okay, guys, don't forget to bend your knees and to control your stick. Position your body correctly and cross your legs in rhythm, okay?
Okay?
Got it? Okay, let's go. Here we go.
Leo skates hesitantly.
Skate and transfer your weight, okay?
Okay.
Again, push well. Now, direct yourself. Keep going.
Leo falls.
It's okay, boy. Come on, stand up. You're doing fine. Push on your legs. Choose a direction.
Leo slips.
It's okay. Keep trying. Don't give up. Choose a direction. Look where you're going. When you're in position, cross your legs. Try. It's okay.
Leo lurches, almost falling.
Take the turn and push on your leg. Good job, kiddo. Good. You're doing great.
Leo stands in line with other players.
Focus. Look over here. We'll start the drill.
Later.
Come on, Salva.
Just five more. He's trembling.
Come on, come on.
Salva, a burly boy, does push-ups in the schoolyard as Leo Baptiste and others cheer him on. Now Leo plays soccer.
Come on, Leo. Shoot.
Great pass. Fantastic. Fantastic. Just great.
Kachi, you got it. Move forward.
Leo laughs gleefully. Back in the ice rink, Leo skates in a circle with other boys.
Keep skating. Don't stop.
Leo loses his footing and drops.
Come on, guys. Come on. Stand up. Come on, let's go.
Leo rises and heads toward the side of the rink.
Come on, guys. Keep skating. Cross over. Cross over.
Leo skates over to Remy, who's on the other side of the glass shields.
Why are you here?
Go back in line, Leo. Come on, let's go. Please, focus on the training. Let's go.
Leo moves to a narrow gap between the panes, as does Remy.
What are you doing?
I'm watching you play.
Why did you come?
I can't.
Of course.
Focus, keep in line. Come on, boys, let's go.
Leo skates over and joins the drill line.
Hey, Baptiste.
Baptiste and a shorter player share good-natured grins.
Hey, shut up, wimp.
Leo notices Remy standing right next to him on the other side of the glass. Leo turns away. Now the two boys bike together.
Do you like it?
Yes.
Maybe I should give it a try.
Leo nods noncommittally.
Why not?
I didn't say anything.
Then why don't you say something?
I don't know.
They continue pedaling along, Leo's hockey stick jutting up from the large gym bag strapped to his back. They zip past tall roadside shrubs and green fields as they roll along the country road.
Bye.
Till tomorrow.
Remy peels off onto a side road and continues on his way. He glances over his shoulder at Leo as the two of them move farther and farther apart. The sun low in the sky, Leo works on the flower farm, carrying buckets full of globe-shaped orange pom-pom dahlia heads and dumping them into a container. His mother also empties a bucket near him.
Are you going to Remy's tonight?
No.
Why not?
Because.
He strides away.
Okay.
At night, lying in his own bed, Leo shifts position. In the darkness, the covers over him can be seen rising and falling slightly as he breathes. In the morning, Leo bikes down the country road on his own. Later, he bicycles with Baptiste and other boys.
Come on, faster.
Kylian Mbappe in the home stretch against Cristiano Ronaldo. Mbappe leaves Ronaldo in the dust by 10 meters.
They race.
It's intense.
Leo hangs out in the schoolyard.
Yes, the three?
The three episodes.
They're awesome.
It's not my fault.
Remy appears.
Leo, where were you?
What?
Why weren't you there?
I ate too early. I left too early.
Remy stares at him with a wounded expression.
There's nothing. It's nothing. Come and join us.
Remy grabs his arm.
You always wait for me, not this time.
I told you, I left too early.
No.
The boys lock eyes, then Remy's face tightens up tearfully.
Don't cry. It's nothing, Remy. Stop crying. Don't cry.
Remy shoves him.
Remy, stop it. Remy, I told you to stop.
Remy swings.
I told you to stop.
Leo drops but returns to his feet.
I told you to stop.
They scuffle, their arms flailing.
Remy, stop it.
A teacher appears.
Stop it. Calm down. Stop it.
The teacher struggles as she tries to hold Remy back.
Stop it. Calm down. Please, calm down.
Remy breaks free and charges, but Leo's brother stops him, then ushers Leo away.
Come with me.
Calm down. Breathe. It's over. It's over, Remy. It's over. Remy, it's over. It's over, Remy. It's over.
The teacher hugs Remy tightly from behind as he weeps and tries to pull away. His brow tight, Leo watches from a distance as his older brother drapes a comforting arm around his shoulder. Both siblings lower their gazes sorrowfully. At night in the flower farm, a harvester rolls through a row of red blossoms. Scraps of leaves and petals float through the air like drifting snow. Following behind the machine, Leo picks up bulbs it missed and tosses them into the harvester's bin. His brother works close by, also bending to collect the tubers from the dirt. The lights of the harvester glare brightly behind Leo as he toils. With his brother gripping the opposite handle, the siblings carry a loaded wire basket, stopping to add more to their burden. As the pre-dawn skies brighten, the brothers carry another load together. Leo's mom and dad kneel in the dirt while they work in a field of crimson flowers. Leo hoists up a full wire basket by himself and lugs it away. Back in the ice rink, the boys skate in a circle again as their coach skates with them.
Hey, go!
Come on, hop, hop, hop.
Come on,
come on, guys.
Leo moves much more smoothly now.
Come on,
let's go, guys.
In the dressing area, the teammates playfully swat each other with their jerseys. Later, by the schoolyard, Leo hangs out with friends. As he listens to them talk, Leo spots Remy sitting with two other students in the distance.
In Argentina, he destroyed everybody. Everybody. He ran fast once, and all of a sudden, he destroyed everybody. Yes, he completely destroyed the opponent. You never saw Thierry Henry run. Yes, Henry is impressive. Henry is the best. No, but Agro, he made one of his sprints.
What do I care?
Maradona or Ronaldinho?
No, not that.
Maradona.
Ronaldinho.
We talk French, Ronaldinho.
In a classroom, Leo sits at a desk writing. He lifts his gaze from his paper to peer across the room at Remy. Remy remains focused on his own paper and doesn't return Leo's look.
Leo, look at your paper.
Leo looks back down. On the flower farm, Leo rides in the harvester's bin, pushing earth-covered bulbs aside to make room for more as they drop in from the unloading pipe. Now he walks alongside the machine, picking up overlooked bulbs and tossing them up into the bin. Sitting on a bus, Leo listens as the teacher takes attendance.
Ines?
Yes.
Emeline?
Yes.
June?
Yes.
Harry?
Yes.
Remy?
Leo peers around.
Remy?
He's not here.
Gabrielle?
Yes.
Louis? Yes. Julia?
Yes.
Calypso?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
On a beach, the students from the bus tear across the sand toward the water. The fully dressed kids splash around at the edge of the surf.
Don't go too far in the water.
With a long pier visible in the distance, jutting out into the ocean, Leo grins happily as he darts around the shallow water with the others, splashing and getting splashed.
Let's keep moving.
Now, Leo and other students on the field trip have their hoods up as wind batters them.
Harry! Harry!
One kid does a goofy dance for the others. Leo peers over a railing.
Look, a jellyfish.
It's the first time I see one in real life.
Leo peers off toward the horizon pensively.
Come on, everybody. Gather around. Gather around, everybody. Salvatore, Ines, both of you, stop it. Is everybody here?
You have to leave now. Come.
Let's all get back in the bus, okay?
Okay.
We're all going back to the bus now.
Riding near the front of the bus, the female teacher peers back toward the kids with a concerned expression as her male colleague holds a cell phone to his ear. Leo gazes up at them with interest.
Kids, we've just arrived at school. Your parents are actually here. Go to your parents and go straight to the gymnasium.
Why?
Don't forget anything in the bus.
Why are our parents here?
We'll tell you inside.
Why are they... Okay, okay. Do you see your father?
Why are they here?
Do you see my mom? Why are they here?
I don't know.
Leo peers out the window.
We must have misbehaved.
As the other students file off the bus, Leo stays in his seat, his eyes wide.
Go over there. Join your parents.
Leo, come.
We have to leave the bus now.
Leo slowly slides into the aisle and stands up.
Come.
Leo stares out the side windows.
Leo.
Come.
Leo?
The teacher moves aside to let Leo's mom come down the aisle.
Come with me.
What's going on?
Her red-rimmed eyes dart toward the windows.
Come.
Why?
She studies her son's face for a moment, then lowers her gaze. Her glassy eyes dart around the bus, and she shifts from side to side on her feet.
Something happened.
The mother and son lock eyes.
Tell me.
It's about Remy. He has...
She shakes her head.
Is he at the hospital?
As her eyes well up, she grimaces and wipes her brow, then turns and looks behind her toward the front of the bus. Looking back at her son with a red face, she shakes her head, then wipes her eyes.
He's no longer here, Leo.
Leo stares at his mother numbly, his eyes glistening.
Come with me, come.
He pushes past her.
Leo!
Now on his bike, Leo pedals furiously down a country road, his head bent forward toward the handlebars and his body rocking from the exertion. Following close behind him is a car with its headlights on, his mother behind the wheel. The bicycle sways as he pounds on the pedals. He hops off the bike, leaving it in the middle of the road, and takes off on foot.
Leo.
Leo tears across a field, his arms pumping fiercely as he runs. With the gray skies of dusk looming overhead, the boy sprints along, his mouth hanging open. Now he walks in darkness toward Remy's one-story home. Nearing a window, he stops and peers into the red-walled room. Through the glass, he can see the room's door. It stands ajar, and the area around the lock and handle is splintered, as if smashed in by someone breaking into the locked room. With the red walls of the room reflected in the window before him, Leo's eyes fill with tears. He presses his eyes tightly closed, and his face contorts with grief. The view goes dark. In dim light, Leo can be seen walking through the darkness. What little light there is reflects in the boy's tear-filled eyes as he trudges forward. With his thin lips pressed tightly together, he lumbers onward, his upper body swaying limply with every step he takes. In the daytime, Leo lies on his bed, turned to one side. He opens his eyes. He reaches out to silence the alarm. Leo rolls onto his back and stares upward, blinking. Now he yanks off the t-shirt he slept in and pulls a fresh one on, then slides a sweatshirt on over that. Grabbing a pair of pants off his desk, he steps into them and pulls them up. Leo trots downstairs and snatches a jacket from a coat rack.
I'm heading for school.
Eat something before.
It's okay. I'm not hungry.
Then drink something.
After shrugging on the jacket, Leo picks up a glass of milk and drinks from it, as his brother watches with a concerned expression.
Shall I give you a ride on my scooter?
Thanks, but I have my bicycle.
He gulps down more milk.
I'd rather have Charlie give you a ride to school today.
Leo finishes the milk and wipes his mouth. Moments later, he rides on the back of his brother's scooter, his arms wrapped around Charlie's torso. Both wearing helmets, Leo peers ahead as they travel down a road. In a classroom, Leo listens as a student speaks.
I cry pretty easily, so I can't really control that. Sometimes, it just starts, and I can't. In fact, being strong is not necessarily refraining from crying. It's also about being able to explain.
You don't have to apologize.
No.
It's important that we can talk about it together. Sekou, don't you think you can be overwhelmed by your emotions?
Of course, sometimes they explode.
But that's not necessarily through tears.
No.
When was the last time you cried?
Out of sadness or out of anger?
Sadness and anger are rather similar.
No, it's different. Most of the time, I cry out of anger.
What about you, Leo? Do you want to share something with us?
Other students look at Leo.
No, I'm fine.
D'accord. All right.
Now, out in the school hallway.
Léo?
Léo?
Léo turns to look at the female teacher.
If there's anything, you can come and talk to me, okay? If you have any questions.
She peers at the boy sympathetically.
Who found him?
His mom. Remember that I'm here for you, okay?
Léo nods solemnly and heads away from her. As Leo's mom drives her car, loose strands of her blonde hair, not captured in a ponytail, hang alongside her face. She turns briefly to her boy, who's riding in the passenger seat beside her.
Are you sure you want to go?
Léo nods.
Okay.
In the hockey rink, Léo drills with his teammates.
Go!
Go! Okay, guys, that's it.
Léo hits a sideboard and drops.
Stop in time, Léo.
Léo rises and skates toward the opposite sideboard.
Go, that's it, go.
Go!
He falls again.
Now backwards, backwards.
Léo rises wearily.
Go.
Teammates skate into the sideboard without falling.
Tristan, go. Come on, Tristan, go on.
Go!
Go.
Léo skates strongly across the ice and slams into the far sideboard, falling down again.
Come on, keep going. Try to sprint. Keep it up. Go, go, go. Come on.
Back in his bedroom, as sunlight streams in a window, Léo is seen from behind while sleeping on his side near the far edge of his bed. A figure sits down behind him on the mattress.
Léo.
Léo shifts position slightly, but keeps his back turned to his father.
We gotta go, kiddo.
Léo moves even closer to the edge of the mattress, so his head partly hangs over the side.
Hey, little man.
His dad sets a hand on the side of Léo's ribcage and peers down at him with a concerned look. He gently strokes his boy's side.
Come.
Léo moves a little bit, and his dad pats him, then withdraws his hand.
Let's go.
Now, Léo walks amid a large group of people, most of them wearing dark colors. Charlie walks to Léo's left, and their parents to Léo's right. Some of those in the crowd hang their heads forward as they trot along. Moments later, Léo and the others stand still.
Chaque printemps, tout recommence. Les arbres fleurissent, les oiseaux reviennent.
Léo lifts his gaze and very faintly rotates his body from side to side. Léo glances off to the side, then shifts his weight from one leg to the other. Peering between some of the people before him, he sees Remy's dark-haired mother standing up near the front. Léo studies her from a distance for a moment, then looks down toward the ground. Now, Léo rides in the backseat of a car as it pulls to a stop. He turns and looks toward the opposite door, then lowers his gaze. Léo doesn't move from his seat as his dad and brother step into view out the back window.
Léo?
Tu viens?
Are you gonna come?
J'ai pas faim.
I'm not hungry.
T'es pas obligé de manger.
You don't have to eat.
Charlie and his father pace a little as they wait behind the car.
Je te garde une...
I'll save you a seat, okay?
Léo's mom can be seen joining the two waiting behind the car. As Léo heaves a deep sigh, his family heads away from the car. In the schoolyard, Leo plays soccer, waving for a teammate to pass him the ball.
Sekou, Sekou, Salva!
Leo dashes back and forth.
Come.
Boys scramble for the ball.
Oh, damn.
Well done.
Salva.
Baptiste.
Behind you.
Leo plays aggressively.
Yes.
Come.
In a classroom.
A bird doesn't really say much. We don't have that much information. But what we can do is add a word.
During the lesson, Leo spots Remy's mom out in the hall, collecting things from a locker, and he averts his gaze.
A large bird.
A beautiful bird or a large bird? Now we have these three words. Which one is the most important? A, large or bird?
Bird,
that's right. That's our substantive. That's our noun.
Leo glances back at Remy's mom, pulling books from the locker. Then he turns away again. At night in his bedroom, Leo pulls back the covers to find that he's wet the bed. He climbs off the mattress and stares down at the bed for a moment, then steps out of his pajama bottoms. Leo roughly yanks the sheets off the bed. Moments later, a door to another room opens and Leo steps inside. Leaving the door open, he makes his way across the floor and slides down into the bed next to his sleeping brother. Leo pulls the cover up over his body and settles in facing his older sibling. Charlie opens his eyes and stares over at Leo.
What is it?
Do you think he suffered?
I don't know.
Do you think he left something?
I have no idea. Try and get some sleep. Stop thinking about it.
Leo closes his eyes, as does Charlie. In a snow-blanketed area outside the school, Leo has a snowball fight with other students. Beaming, Leo hurls a snowball, then picks up another lump of snow and darts around before tossing that one. A student hits him with a snowball, then the grinning Leo gets struck by another one as he leans down to scoop up more snow. In a classroom, Leo listens to a girl speak.
He's really someone, like Julia said, who you could count on and who was often happy, with a smile on his face. He was really someone I liked very much.
Thank you. Salva?
I wrote that Remy was very cheerful, although sometimes he was a pain. He was nice. He was Leo's buddy. I laughed a lot with him, and he was always happy.
And what do you...
How do you know that?
Leo glares.
That's how we saw him. And you really think he was always happy?
Everybody gets his turn, Leo.
Salva nods, then peers around awkwardly.
Is that funny? What's funny? Then what do you do? Nothing, man. Why are you laughing now?
Leo. We're all entitled to express our feelings.
D'accord.
All right? It's important to let people talk, okay? Anything else, Salvatore?
No.
Raphael?
I can remember Remy as a nice and musical guy.
Leo jumps to his feet and starts off. At night, Leo rides in a passenger seat of a car as foliage zips past his window.
Where do I go?
You go left.
His mom peers ahead through the windshield as she drives.
What time is it?
Almost 8 p.m.
Then hurry up.
No, we're on time. We'll make it.
I don't want to be late.
We'll be on time. We won't be late.
He shoots her a look.
Can we sit more to the front?
Leo and his mom walk down the aisle of an auditorium. Then the boy motions toward a row of seats.
There? Okay?
Yes.
They move through the aisle and sit down. During the performance, a close view of Leo shows him staring toward the stage in dim light. His eyes shift and he peers down pensively. Lifting his gaze, he looks across the room and sees Remy's mother sitting in the audience. As she watches the performance, Remy's mom blinks and her eyes fill with tears. The view moves closer to her as she peers toward the stage with a haunted expression. She looks down toward her lap, then up again. Her eyes glisten in the dark theater. Still watching her, Leo's eyes also shine. He shifts his gaze away from the woman. At hockey practice, Leo skids to a stop by a sideboard without hitting it, then skates backwards.
Give it your all.
Leo skates backwards rapidly.
Go! Go!
His arms pump as he drills.
Go!
Spinning and skating forward, he notices Remy's mother watching as she steps through the spectator area behind the glass shields. Leo stares at her as he lines up for more drills.
Keep up the pace, boys.
Hey,
come on. We're increasing the pace one more time. Increase the pace. Come on.
Leo skates backwards again.
This is the last one. Come on, boys. Keep it up.
Okay, boys.
You trained well. You can go change now. See you next week. Go.
Go.
As the other boys skate away, Leo stays in place, warily peering off at Remy's mother through the cage of his helmet. He begins skating slowly toward her, and she moves over to a wide opening between glass shields. Leo skids to a stop at the end board so that they are face to face with no glass between them.
I didn't recognize you with all this.
He smiles faintly, then studies her, his eyes scanning her shorter hair.
Your haircut is pretty.
Do you like it?
The boy nods and she smiles, then reaches out and taps the padded shoulder of his uniform.
This looks good on you. It makes you look strong. Are you happy with your team? Do you like it?
He nods.
I'm a little behind at times, but it's okay.
Is everything okay at school?
He nods again and lowers his gaze. They both peer out toward the ice for a moment. Then Leo turns back to look at the woman.
I'm happy to see you.
Me too.
She offers a weak smile, then her eyes drift back toward the ice again. Her body rocking slightly, she returns her attention to the boy.
Did you talk to each other?
Leo peers downward through the cage of his helmet. Then he locks eyes with her briefly as he shakes his head. She presses her lips tightly together, pursing them as she gazes off into the distance.
I'm gonna go and change. I'm very cold.
You're right. Don't catch a cold. How did you get here?
I took my bicycle.
Do you need a ride home?
No, it's okay. It's not too far.
You're always welcome, you know.
She smiles.
Bye, Leo.
Bye.
He glides away from her as the rink fills with skating civilians. Now, Leo cracks open his bedroom door and listens.
Good evening, Sophie. Welcome.
Thank you. Here you go.
You didn't have to. Happy to see you again.
Moments later, Leo and his family eat with Remy's bearded father and Remy's mom, Sophie.
Do you like it?
Yes.
It's really good.
It's delicious. While I criticize the vegetables.
You don't say.
This is to my liking.
Remy's dad turns to Charlie.
Is everything okay at school?
Yes, absolutely. An exam period is coming. That's what I'm working on right now. That's what he tells us. No, I'm serious. I'm really studying, Dad. He's convincing. And you stop laughing.
The problem is that he passes without much effort.
When I have exams coming up, I study, and that's the case. Don't think that I'm not. Anyway. You can tell it's going to be fine.
Perfect.
And you, are you doing okay?
Remy's dad hesitates as he forms an answer to Charlie's question.
What? Yes, everything's fine. It's all good. I've started working again.
That's great.
Yes, yes.
That's good. What about you, Sophie? You're working at the maternity again?
Yes, I have.
Is it going well?
It's going. It's not what it should be, but we'll make do. Do you know what you're going to do after your exams?
Well, the infamous question. Well, I'm getting a little fed up with my studies. I'm planning on traveling for a year. I'm planning a world trip with my girlfriend. I would love that. It would be great. I'll probably do it by car if I get my driver's license. That's the plan. We would go east and we would go all the way to Australia.
Remy's father shields his eyes as he begins to cry. Sophie stares down toward her food. Leo hangs his head forward. Leo's mom reaches out and strokes the weeping father's arm.
It's okay.
Sophie shifts in her seat.
I'm sorry.
She rises and walks off.
Do you want something?
No.
Turning, Leo sees Sophie outside in the dark, her back to the house as she walks away. As she moves deeper into the shadows, Leo keeps his eyes fixed on her. In the ice rink, Leo drills with his teammates.
Come on, give it your all. Come on.
Leo tumbles down.
Get up, Leo. Go on, go on.
He rises to his feet.
Come on.
And again.
And you go again.
Okay, pick up speed.
Come on, Leo.
Leo skates backwards.
Come on, pick it up.
Leo slips and drops to his knees. He slams his hockey stick down in frustration and rises again. As other teammates drill near him, Leo skates backwards again. He loses his balance and drops down to the ice.
Damn!
He slaps his stick down angrily and pulls himself up again. Moving more sluggishly, he skates wearily backwards.
Come on, Leo.
Arms pumping, he continues skating backwards. Then Leo bends forward, leans his hands against his knees, and coasts. He falls hard and lies there, stunned, as one of the coaches skates over and helps him sit up. On the flower farm, Leo and Charlie slide trays of seedlings onto a rack attached to the back of a tractor. As he works, Leo passes his dad, who glances his way. After sliding another tray of seedlings onto the rack, Leo shoulders a large bag. He lugs the bag away from the rack, then carries another one. Now, holding a seedling tray vertically, he slides it into an automated planter. He hops off the moving machine and grabs another tray of seedlings from the rack, which is being pulled alongside. After loading the tray into the planter, he accepts an empty one from a worker and shakes it out before storing it on top of the rack. His hand caked with dirt, Leo sips from a plastic cup as he takes a break. Later, Leo carefully adjusts seedlings that have been planted in the ground in rows and runs his fingers through the dirt alongside them. Now, Charlie playfully teases his brother.
You're falling by yourself. It's not me.
He tackles Leo in a field of tall grass.
Come on.
Leo chases Charlie and they tussle. Charlie hoists Leo up on his shoulder.
No!
They wrestle good-naturedly in the grass.
Come here, you. Got you. That's it. I got you.
With sunset painting the sky pink, the two siblings ride in the bed of a truck. Charlie's arm hangs around his brother's shoulder, and the two boys lean their heads together. In the daytime, Leo and Baptiste step into a room where a gray-haired man sits at a dining table cluttered with paperwork.
Hi.
Hi, son. Are you okay?
Yes.
A good day at school?
Yes.
Hi. Hi, young man.
Can he sleep here?
Sure, it's fine with me. But it's a school day, so no fiesta until midnight. Okay?
Yes.
Okay, deal. Go on.
The boys play a video game.
I don't have enough ammo either.
So I'm done.
Watch out.
I'm dead. Run.
Run, I'm behind you. Wait. Shit, but if...
Run, run, run.
Leo slaps a hand over his mouth.
No big deal. No, but fight. But... Fight, right?
Now, Baptiste is seen from behind as he sleeps soundly on his side. Leo peers up at him from where he lies prone on a floor mattress set beside Baptiste's bed. Leo rolls onto his back and peers pensively up toward the ceiling, his hands crossed over his stomach. In the daytime, Leo steps through the thicket and out into a clearing where the one-story house sits. He slows to a stop and peers across at the building Remy lived in. Leo blinks, then walks closer. The brown dog bounds excitedly over to him.
Hello. Hello.
Leo kneels and rubs the animal.
Are you doing good, buddy?
The boy lifts his gaze from the dog and sees something. Sophie steps toward him from the house, her arms crossed over her chest. Both Leo and the dog walk toward the woman. Sophie and the boy kneel to pet the animal.
Yeah.
Come over here.
Did you see? Did you see who's here? He's happy to see you.
Leo smiles.
I'm happy to see him, too.
He really missed you.
With a smile, Sophie watches Leo stroke the dog.
Do you have time to come in?
Inside.
What do you want to drink?
Water is fine.
Water?
Yes.
Wouldn't you rather have some milk or some soda?
No, water is fine.
Okay. Here you go.
Thanks.
I think I'll get some water as well.
Standing at the sink, Sophie takes a sip of her water, then turns to Leo.
Where's Peter?
He's at work. I'm not working today. I'm enjoying myself. Do you want to eat something?
No, thanks. I'm not hungry.
I can only make you a toast. I have to do some grocery shopping.
No, thanks. I'm okay.
Sophie takes another sip of her water.
How are things at home?
We've started to plant.
Really? Have you learned?
Yes, Dad and Charlie taught me.
And? Do you like it?
Yes. It was hard at first. You had to look everywhere. You had to do a lot of things at once. You had to make sure the plants were still there and so forth. It was fine after that. It becomes easier when...
You get used to it.
Yes.
That's the trick. You do that all together?
He nods.
That's nice.
She drinks a little more water and smiles.
How's school?
It's all right.
And the teachers?
Some are good. Others are super boring.
You don't say. That's always the case. Forget about the boring ones and focus on the good ones. More water? Don't hesitate.
Then I would have to pee.
You could go. You're familiar with the house. If you want to pee, it's no big deal.
The two share a lingering, affectionate smile. Leo blinks and his eyes shift away from her. Sophie's smile fades and she runs her fingers through the hair behind one ear.
Did you come to see me?
Yes.
The boy's eyes shine. She nods and her warm smile returns.
Can I go to his room?
Moments later, Leo slowly opens the door to the red-walled bedroom. He stands near the door, staring. After a pause, Leo steps further into the space, his eyes scanning his surroundings. Peering down, he runs a hand along the edge of a piece of furniture. A close view of Leo's face shows him taking in his surroundings while he moves slowly through the room. He turns and touches the gun barrel of a small yellow toy tank. As he shifts his position, Sophie can be seen standing in the doorway with her arms crossed. Leo briefly glances her way.
If you want something, help yourself.
No, it's okay.
With her eyes downcast, Sophie pads farther into the room until she's standing close to Leo. They both peer down at Remy's desk, which has multiple wrinkled drawings and assorted papers laid out on its surface, each page looking like it was pulled from the trash and smoothed out.
You see, I looked everywhere.
She turns from the desk to look at Leo, who swallows deeply. Sophie pivots and takes a seat on the edge of the bed. Her brow tight, she gazes across at the boy, whose back is to her.
Leo.
Leo doesn't turn.
What happened between you two?
Tearing up, Leo wipes his wrist against one eye and under his nose, then turns to face her.
I have to go.
She rises.
I forgot, I have to do something.
Shall I bring you?
No, thanks.
Outside, Leo trudges through a heavy downpour. Near the horizon, the sky is streaked in orange and blue, but dark clouds loom above the boy as he lumbers through the storm. At home, the drenched Leo slams his bedroom door.
Leo?
His mom tries to enter.
Leo?
Leave me alone!
What's wrong? What's going on?
She reaches for his head, but he spins away as he takes off his wet clothes.
Leo.
Where were you?
Please, leave.
Come here.
She tries to hug him.
What's wrong?
He struggles.
Calm down.
Go away.
Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Calm down.
As she embraces him from behind, Leo stops struggling. He tries to pull her arms apart, but she holds fast, continuing to hug him. At the ice rink, Leo sits with teammates on the players' bench during a game. A member of the other team shoots.
Come on, guys!
Leo focuses intently on the game from his seat on the sidelines. He and his teammates on the bench rise for their shift.
Let's go. Come on, guys.
Come on, boys. Let's go, us. Go.
Leo spins out on the ice and takes a ready position.
Let's go.
Come on. Attack, guys. Attack. Come on.
As the action nears, Leo skates swiftly back to defend his goalie.
Come on, guys. Defense.
Defense.
Defense. Push. Defense.
Defense.
An opposing player plows into Leo, sending him crashing down. Teammates gather around and help him sit up. With some difficulty, he manages to rise to his knees and begins to stand. Now, Leo sits on an exam table in front of a bank of windows that display a view of lush greenery. A man in scrubs wraps plaster gauze around his left arm and wrist, creating a cast. Leo stares down at his injured arm as the doctor carefully unrolls more gauze with his gloved hands and encircles the boy's forearm with it. Tears splash down from his eyes.
Does it pain? Does it hurt?
Leo shakes his head. More tears rain down from Leo's eyes, and his face contorts with profound sadness. The doctor sets a comforting hand on his shoulder, and Leo's dad rushes over to him. He cradles his son's head.
A broken arm does hurt, right?
The doctor rubs Leo's back, and his dad kisses his forehead. As the doctor finishes wrapping the arm, Leo's dad wipes tears from his son's eyes. Glancing up at the boy's tearful face, the doctor runs a hand over the completed cast. Leo's dad keeps his eyes trained on the road ahead as he drives. Sitting beside him in the passenger seat, Leo leans out his open window, the wind stirring his sand-colored hair. At night, in Charlie's dark bedroom, Leo lies down beside his brother. Settling in on his back, he peers upwards, then swallows deeply. Leo turns to study his slumbering brother's features.
Are you sleeping?
Not anymore.
Leo gazes back up toward the ceiling. Leo rolls onto his side so that he's facing away from his older sibling. His eyes closed, Charlie scoots a little closer to him. Leo peers off into the shadows.
I miss him.
Charlie wraps an arm around Leo and spoons his body against him. Seen from above, the two brothers lie together without moving, the elder cradling the younger. Charlie slightly adjusts the position of his face against Leo's upper back. In a classroom, Leo peers up toward the teacher from his desk.
Okay, guys. Thanks for this past year. We'll see each other next year. Have a nice holiday. Bye.
Leo and other giddy students stream along outside of the school building. Leo grins, the cast on his left arm swinging as he runs. At a celebration, joyful students jump up and down. Some thrust their arms in the air, others dance. Leo grins as he sits watching the ecstatic partiers. While he looks on, a thought overtakes him and his smile fades. His doe-like eyes dart around and glaze over. A wistful look washes over him. He glances to one side briefly, his eyes shining. Alone now, he runs down a straight section of a tree-lined country road. Stepping away from the dense thicket, he strides across the familiar clearing toward the one-story house. Moments later, he sits alone on the front stoop of the house, gazing off into the distance. His eyes dart to one side thoughtfully. Leo rides on a bus, standing in the aisle and gripping a pole while gazing out the windows at the passing scenery. Now he strides past parked ambulances and up the front steps of a building. As he enters, he passes a woman being pushed out the door in a wheelchair. Inside the building, Leo sees a nurse rolling an infant by in a pediatric medical bassinet. He glances in a hospital room, then heads down a long hallway. Leo stops to peer in another room before continuing on. As he makes his way down the maternity ward hall, a woman pushes a cart across his path and disappears from view. Leo steps through a doorway and turns. Peering through a glassed-in nurse's station, he sees Sophie standing in the neonatal intensive care unit beyond. Wearing scrubs, she cradles a baby in her arms as she paces by an incubator. Sophie looks up from the infant and spots Leo staring across at her. The boy gazes at her with unblinking, wide eyes. Still holding the baby, Sophie circles around the nurse's station. As she gets closer to Leo, he licks his lips anxiously.
Leo, what are you doing here?
Sophie wears a concerned expression.
How did you get here?
I took the bus.
What do you want? I'm working.
Leo looks off to one side. Sophie gently bounces the crying baby. Now in a car, Leo rides in the passenger seat, his chin lowered. Sophie, who's driving the vehicle, briefly turns to look at the boy beside her as they roll through a wooded area.
It's because of me. It's my fault.
She brings the car to a stop, her brow furrowed.
I pushed him away.
Leo doesn't turn to look at her, keeping his chin lowered. Sophie studies him for a moment, then her eyes dart around as they fill with tears. She shoots him a questioning look. Leo's chin trembles as he fights back tears. Sophie stares at him from the driver's seat, then looks away, her face a mask of confusion and grief. Her head wavers faintly, almost as if she's nodding, and she turns to look at the boy again. A tear splashes down from her eye. Barely moving his head, Leo's eyes shift to the left, and he looks at her for the first time, a tear running down his cheek.
Get out.
He undoes his seatbelt and climbs out of the car. Seen from behind, Leo marches off through the forest. He glances over his shoulder briefly as he walks between tall tree trunks.
Leo.
Sophie rushes after him.
Leo!
Leo!
She strides over the uneven terrain, her arms swinging. Sophie slows down and scans the area ahead of her.
Leo!
Leo!
All around her loom thick, gray tree trunks stretching up to the green canopy high above.
Leo!
At the sound, she turns. Sophie shifts from side to side on her feet. Leo stands stiffly nearby, weeping, his slender form looking fragile amid the large trees. He grips the end of a pole-like tree branch as if it were a sword. Sophie peers at him with an empathetic expression. She steps tentatively toward the boy. He holds up the stick as if to defend himself. She draws nearer, closing the distance between them. As he rears back with the stick, she takes him in her arms. Sophie grips him tightly and cradles the back of his head with a hand. She rubs his back. Blinking away tears, she rocks Leo from side to side as she might rock a baby. Sophie tenderly kisses the side of his face, then rubs his back with her thumb while hugging him tightly. There in the forest, the two remain locked in a mournful embrace. The view goes dark. A healthcare worker uses a saw to cut into Leo's cast, which now bears many signatures.
Try to turn your wrist carefully.
Leo gently rotates his newly freed hand. As he checks out his healed arm, bright sunlight streams in from the window behind him. Now, Leo strides across the clearing toward the one-story house. He circles around a window-filled corner of the building and peers inside. The yellow-walled room within is completely empty, devoid of furniture and personal belongings. As Leo gazes through the picture window of the deserted home, trees swaying in the wind behind him can be seen reflected in the glass. He lifts a hand and softly presses his palm against the window. Alone at the flower farm, Leo sprints through a field of orange and pink pom-pom dahlia blossoms. Bright sun bathes his pale face as he runs. The boy slows to a walk and continues along a narrow path between the rows of vibrant flowers. Our view follows right behind him as he strolls onward. He stops walking and looks over his shoulder, gazing directly at us. He seems to be grimly sizing us up. Then he glances to one side before looking at us again. Leo turns from us, facing the way ahead again, and continues treading along the path between the flowers. Cut to black. A film by Lucas Daunt. Introducing Eden Dombreen and Gustav De Wael. Emily De Quen. Leah Drucker. Kevin Janssens, Mark Weiss. Igor Van Dessel, Leon Bataille. Written by Lucas Daunt, Angelo Tysons. Produced by Michel Daunt, Dirk Impins. Co-producers, Michel Saint-Jean, Lorette Schillings, Arnold Heslenfeld, Franz von Hestel, Jacques-Henri Broncar. Associated producers, Albert Godot, Rudy Verzik, Michael Weber, Jean de Klerk, Alexander van de Poet, Annemie de Gries, Arlette Zilberberg. More credits roll. Thank you. Copyright Munyue, Diafana Films, Top Copy Films, Versus Production 2022. This film has been described by Deluxe with funding by A24. Voices by Nicole Zanzarella, Julian Smith, KG Tang, Laura Post, and Darren Revitz. Rainbow colors streak across shapes as they slide into place to form A24.